the line. This is thecommentary.ca. The historian Jean Barman joins me now. She's just written a remarkable history of British Columbia in a splendid-looking new coffee table book, British Columbia, Spirit of the People, commissioned by the provincial government. It explores the history of BC's 10 diverse regions with neat historical and lush photographs in color. It captures not only the landscape, but also the people of this province from its early days through to today. Jean Barman is Professor Emerita at the University of British Columbia and has written six previous books, including the indispensable The West Beyond the West, and most recently Stanley Park Secret. She is also a Fellow of the Royal Society of Canada. British Columbia, Spirit of the People is published by Harbour and retails for $49.95. The foreword was written by the Premier, Gordon Campbell. It is a great way to look back at BC as it turns 150 this year. Please welcome once again to the Plant on the Line program, Jean Barman. Good morning, Professor Barman.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
How did you, just about your own life,
yes.
How did you end up in British Columbia?
I ended up in British Columbia because my husband got a job here as an academic at the University of British Columbia. But he had a choice of jobs, and we were very much attracted to this part of the world. We visited before. He is English and proverbial black sheep uncle who had settled here, and we went to visit him and got to know the place, and it was a choice.
I mean, it's funny that the people that aren't born here are usually the people that seem to know the most about it, write the most about it, and know it so passionately. Do you find that it's ironic that you're not from here and that you've written so much about it?
No, because I think we look at it with new eyes, but I think British Columbia also is the only province in Canada which, from as soon as newcomers, became the majority and took over from Aboriginal peoples, there have been more British Columbians are born elsewhere than in the province. And so most British Columbians come from elsewhere.
How did you get involved with this project?
I was asked by the publisher. The provincial government had the project. They invited publishers to make proposals. The publisher who won the project, Harvard Publishing, Howard White, kindly asked me if I was willing to write the text, and I thought it was a real honor and an opportunity, so I did so.
Was writing this book, I guess it's not, but I mean, people may wonder, is this a distillation of the West Beyond the West?
Well, if we're writing about British Columbia, the history doesn't change. In The West Beyond the West, there are 175,000 words. In this book, there are 25,000 words. But certainly, my understandings change over time as I write more and more and think more and more and read more and more about it. But on the other hand, the basic ideas, I think, are quite similar because most people don't change their mind that quickly, that often.
How involved were you in the selection of the photographs? As I said, they were just fabulous-looking pictures in this book.
Yeah, the photographs are very much a collaboration. Vicki Johnston at Harbour was in charge of the image part of the project, and the provincial government made available a number of banks of photographs. I went through a lot of images that existed, either ones that I had used before or I had accessed, or were available online through British Columbia Archives and other archives around the province, and made a whole, offered Harbour a whole number of possibilities, and some of these were integrated into the text. What was really important is that the book has three components. There's the actual text, then there are sidebars, which are more examples and things which are meant to sort of draw you in, which are words and images, and often are illustrations of what's going on, and then there are the images themselves. And so the three have to work together as a coherent whole, and so you can enter the book through the images if you want. You can enter through the sidebars. You can enter through the text.
Well, when you write this sort of book, when you embark on putting this sort of book together, do you think of the audience that you write for? Like, do you write this for a certain demographic, for example? I know that I understand that it's going into something like 5,000 schools across the province.
It's going, as I understand it, to every public school and to every public library in British Columbia. It's also being used by Premier Gordon Campbell in traveling. I know it's already went with him on his last trip to China. So I wrote it for someone who doesn't need to know anything about British Columbia, not even where it's located or what kind of a place it is. So you don't have to have previous knowledge. But it's also very much written for British Columbians at the same time, in the sense of emphasizing how this is such an incredibly large and diverse province as a physical place, and also as how there are people here from every background from very, very early on who have, you know, gradually learned to live together and to live together both with each other and live together as stewards of this place where we live. So I didn't, you don't have to know anything in order to, I think, to appreciate the book.
In the process of writing this book, did you learn anything new about the province?
Every time
really?
I'm writing something, I learn a lot new about the province. You learn certainly, in this case I learned a lot more about the diversity of British Columbia. Again, excuse me, one needs to be respectful of the whole province and not have, as it's very easy to do because over two-thirds of the population live there, to have that kind of lower mainland, southern Vancouver Island perspective on British Columbia, but to try to be respectful of the province as a whole. And I think every time you start to think about this, British Columbia is so big, it has so many elements to it that you continually learn more about places that you didn't even know that you were going to learn about or you wanted to learn about, and you become very excited about new elements, and they always find their way into the text.
We're talking with Jean Berman, Professor Emerita at UBC. She's written a new book, British Columbia, Spirit of the People, $49.95 from Harper Publishing. You mentioned that the government had commissioned the book. What role did they have in putting the book together?
They provided access to the images. They could have provided some funding, although I don't, you know, those elements are not part of my my part of the project. And also, they did play a role in terms of looking at the text to make sure that it satisfied their expectations. And I think the best part of the book, in some ways, is that Premier Gordon Campbell literally took the time to read every word of the text. And he's a very good British Columbian historian, which I've known for a long time. I've known that for, you know, 15 years and more. But he made some very astute comments on the text, which ended up making it a better book. So, in fact, it does have a collaborative component to it, although, I mean, I stand behind, you know, every word and had the final, you know, made the final decisions in terms of how things are phrased and what the words are and went through many iterations of it, of the text and of the images and of the, you know, of the whole book in draft.
I haven't really been paying attention, but are there a lot of commemorations of this 150th anniversary of the province?
It's become, and it was focused to be, and has successfully become very much a whole series of local events. Provincial government has made some funding available, but it's not a matter of huge amounts of funding for big splashy projects, but it's small amounts of funding, upwards to about $10,000 for a whole range of projects around British Columbia in small towns with groups of people. I did a bit of promotion for the book in a Chapters store and had a nice young man of about 20 come up to me and tell me how he had been part of an old-time rugby team where they'd worn 19th century uniforms and how hot they were because it was the one warm day we'd had so far, so far in the spring and summer. So there's a huge diversity in terms of the ways in which BC 150 has been used to sort of raise consciousness that British Columbia is not just a place about today, but British Columbia does have a history, you know, which has all of these multiple components to it.
You mentioned that you're going to promote this book. Have you traveled the province with it?
I would like to. I haven't done so, and I'm hopeful it'll be possible to do so.
And what's the reaction been so far from people who've seen the book? I mean, as I said to you up top, that it's just a wonderful book. And
Well, what I wasn't quite so aware of was how the different three components of it, you know, the actual text and words and then the sidebars and the illustrations, work differently for different people. I mean, there are different access points, and different people access it through these different ways. And so for people who are very interested in wanting to understand visually what British Columbia is about, you know, the pictures themselves are sort of the way in which you enter the text. And that's the thing that's what's most amazed me is the ways in which, the multiple ways in which people approached it. People who are sending it off to relatives elsewhere. One woman who told me she was buying it for her grandchildren when they came to visit, it would be the book which would be on the coffee table, so they would have a chance to go through it. And so there's a whole bunch of, it serves a whole multiplicity of purposes. I'm hopeful it will continue to do so because it's intended to reach very, very diverse audiences.
When you look back at 150 years, I mean, you're a historian. Mm-hmm. Do you ever look into the future? Do you try to predict what will happen in the next 150, if that's possible?
Oh, what a woeful thought. wide-reaching, and has one chapter which is simply looking at the different diverse regions of British Columbia, what their character are, and how they're, you know, how they're defined and have their own sort of personality and character. But I think what's clear is that British Columbia is, you asked about the future, I mean, if you look at the present that's going into the future, I think British Columbia is at a very interesting point, because I think that it is a place in the world where people from very, very diverse backgrounds, racially, ethnically, geographically, however you want, whatever kind of definition you want to use, where people have learned to live together in a way which is respectful of each other, and I think that's a remarkable feat. And so hopefully that kind of tone, which is linked to the fact that British Columbia was on, at one point it was on the far side of Canada, and now to some extent because of the growing presence of Asia, it's on the near side of the continent. So it seems to me that there, you know, we should all have optimism. Certainly some sectors of the economy are in trouble. British Columbia has had booms and busts ever since, you know, ever since the beginning, since the gold rush. The gold rush was the first boom and bust, which is what happened 150 years ago in 1858, which is why British Columbia then became, or the mainland became, a British colony that year. We've always had these cycles, these economic cycles, but somehow we've always rebounded from them. And it seems to me that we've got an incredibly good base in terms of people, plus we have this huge, huge place, much of which is still largely, you know, has got lots of points of accessibility to them for people. So, I'm very optimistic about what, you know, what the future will hold.
And you and your husband have never regretted moving here?
Oh, no, we certainly have not regretted moving here. It's been one of the best, it's certainly been one of the best decisions that we have, that we've made.
So you're retired now from the history, from the education department at UBC, is that correct?
I did. I retired a couple of years ago.
And so did you just spend time writing? Is that what you do? Or
I've been writing. I've been asked to do some consultancy to do with heritage, consultancy to do with with teaching, with university teaching. And so it's been very enjoyable because I've been able to do, I've been able to write. I'm in the middle of two or three writing projects, but I'm able to do it. And in some cases, with consultancy, you get, you know, you move into new areas that you haven't really thought you're going to. And so again, you learn more, and you gain in knowledge, and you gain in understanding.
And are you working on another book? Or?
I've got a research project together with a fur trade historian, Bruce Watson, to look at the role played, largely unexamined, of Francophones, people from French Canada and Quebec, and also people from France in the sort of early making of the Pacific Northwest, which, you know, up until 1858 or up until 1846, there was no distinction between today's Washington, Oregon, and British Columbia in practice. We want to look at that whole time period and look at the fact that these, up until 1858, the principal non-Aboriginal language in the Pacific Northwest, or certainly in British Columbia, was French, because French was the language of the fur trade. And it's something that we've sort of forgotten in terms of this kind of dichotomy we think about. We think about Quebec as being the Francophone place and the rest of Canada as being Anglophone. And that's, again, you know, we've got too harsh a judgment on the past. And the past, I think, was much more complex and interesting and rich than we generally think of it as having been.
Professor Barman, what do you think of all these books that have come out in recent weeks and in the last few months or so about British, like the sort of history books? And you're an invert reader, I'm sure. There was that book by Daphne Slay on Major Matthews.
Yes.
That we had her on, and I thought about you and your
book. I wrote the introduction, so if
correct.
You read the book, you would have seen me there.
Right, correct. Yeah, I thought about you because we talked about Stanley Park's Secret.
Right.
What do you think of Stephen Hume's book on Simon Fraser and I guess Stephen Bowen, is that his name, about George Vancouver's book?
I think, what is interesting is that publishers, what's most interesting to me is that these are all solid books, these are all solid authors, but we, and one hand we think, okay, the book is dead, we're all on the internet all the time, we don't need books, but they're not only our solid authors when you write them, there are publishers, very, very reputable top publishers, Douglas and McIntyre Harbor, a number of publishers, Heritage House, who are publishing books, and obviously they're publishing because people are reading books, and that's actually very exciting. In a sense, you know, history does not have to be boring. History can be interesting. History can be exciting. We can understand from, you know, we can understand from the past, and we can actually, you know, have a real romp through particular events in the past. And certainly, the Simon Fraser book is done. It combines actual Simon Fraser's the northern interior, central interior of British Columbia, plus going down the Fraser River, which would be named after him. Or if we look at Major Matthews, who was, you know, one of the earliest very determined men to create a city archives in Canada. And Vancouver was the first city to have a city archives in Canada and the first city to have its own archival building. And you can see in these characters of these men who are tough, resilient, resourceful, that, you know, how we got to be where we are today. Because it took a Simon Fraser, and again, going back to my Francophone thing, Simon Fraser gets the credit just like Alexander Mackenzie got the credit a few years earlier for being the first person to go across North America, north of Mexico, you know, via the interior. But in fact, it was basically Francophones. It was French Canadians who were, you know, who were the people who were supporting them, who were manning the canoes, who were doing the hard work that we associate with Simon Fraser and Mackenzie. So again, you know, we can get and understand the complexity of the past by, you know, having these stories.
Professor Barman, I do appreciate you coming on today and talking about this book. Many congratulations on it. It's a tremendously wonderful legacy for you as well.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the chance to talk about it.
Continued good luck with it. The book is called British Columbia, Spirit of the People, $49.95 from Harbor Publishing. The author, Gene Barman, here on the Plante Online program. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Plante.